come up on a tight wire.
I'm Daniel Chacon. Welcome to another edition of Words on a Wire. We have an awesome show for you today. We are going to talk about the new book, the brand new book by, wait for it, Maya Angelou. That's right. She came out with a brand new book. It is a compilation of her quotes, quotes on wisdom, quotes on love, quotes on what it's like to be an American, what it's like to be a Black woman. These beautiful quotes that are compiled by her son, Guy Johnson, who is going to join us. We are going to talk to him about his mother and about this fantastic new book, which is really, I keep it around my house, and I every now and then when I feel I need a little animo, I'll pick it up and read one of her quotes. She is an amazingly grateful woman. She's full of love and full of gratitude, and it's a fantastic book. So, and he's also going to read a poem of the week by his mother, something she wrote for the United Nations, and it's a fantastic, very moving poem, which will remind us why she is such a great literary figure. Join us. It's going to be a great show. And I have to say that I'm pretty happy because I just got my new iPhone 6 Plus, which has a screen so big you could actually watch TV on it. And I have to admit, I love my iPhone, but there is one thing that kind of bothers me about it, and that's the Siri app, you know, the Siri application where you actually talk to it and you say Siri and you ask for directions and stuff, because I realized the other day that Siri is turning me into a white boy. Because whenever I try to call my Mexican friends, she just doesn't understand me. So, for example, if I say, call Nancy Lechuga, Siri doesn't understand unless I say, call Nancy Lechuga. And the other day, I asked her to find a particular poem by Borges, and she said, looking for Bored Kiss. So, in order for her to understand, I have to turn my accent into kind of like a white boy accent. I have to say a poem by Borges. And then she knows what I'm looking for. And I know it's affecting me because the other day I was talking to a friend and I says, yeah, my family is from Jalisco, specifically Guadalajara. But that's what Siri does to you. It just doesn't seem to understand the Chicanismo or the Chicano accent. The other day I was in Los Angeles and I was trying to find an address on Sepulveda Boulevard. If you know Sepulveda Boulevard, it's a huge thoroughfare going through Los Angeles. And I said, Siri, where is Sepulveda? And she goes, looking for local businesses called Support Buddha. It's irritating. It's irritating. I mean, I want my technology to be on the level of Star Trek. I mean, I want it to be perfect because all the captain has to do is say, computer, I would like a steak and egg burrito with extra cheese. And the computer says, yes, captain, steak and eggs burrito with extra cheese. And then the lights flash off and on, and then the captain opens this compartment, and there it is, a perfect steak and egg burrito with extra cheese. That's how I want my technology to act. But I know that even if Siri were capable of producing matter, if she had a built-in 3D printer, I would still say to her, Siri, make me a steak and egg burrito with extra cheese. And lights would flash on and off, and I'd open the compartment, and there it is. A duck in the front seat of a Corvette wearing short pants. And Siri would say, Daniel, here's your duck in a Corvette with knobby knees. So I'm a little impatient with it, but I am glad I got it because, well, I love it. I love having technology. So stick around and we're going to talk to Guy Johnson on Words on a Wire.
Last night he went out drinking. When he came home, he gave me a beating. So I picked up the rolling pin and went to work on his head till I bashed it ding. And now he's stone cold.
Everybody knows Maya Angelou. She was born Margaret Annie Johnson in 1928, and she was an American author, poet, dancer, actress, and singer. She published 7 autobiographies, 3 books of essays, and several books of poetry. And quite frankly, I think Maya Angelou is to American literature what Shakespeare was to British theater. She is one of our most prized literary figures. And we're going to talk about her new book, her posthumous book, which is a collection of quotes and pieces of wisdom and just little images and memories put together by her son, Guy Johnson, her only son. And today, Guy Johnson is going to join us. Guy, welcome to Words on a Wire.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
And first of all, let me just thank you for putting this book together. It's an amazing idea, an amazing concept, and an amazing collection of quotes, really beautiful quotes from your mother. How did this book come about? Well, where did the idea come, and how did it get started?
Well, at first, my mother was working on a book called Encounters. And we, the family, all thought that she had advanced far enough to get it published. But when she passed, we discovered she was, in fact, a lot sicker prior to that than we had thought. Even though I talked to her the day before and we had left, I had no sense she was going to pass the next morning.
Oh, my.
And we discovered is that she didn't have enough of that book, Encounters, to be published. And Random House, rather than taking back the advance that they had given her, offered us the possibility of putting together a book of her quotations and sayings. And they put together a team that culled through her poetry as well as her biographies and put together some things. When I saw it, I knew that didn't really capture the message that my mother had. And so I was fortunate enough to work with some people in Random House who allowed me to be more selective and choose some of the things that I thought should be in there.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense, to have her son choose the quotes as opposed to a publisher.
Well, yes, particularly the son that, when he was younger, when he was in his teens, did everything he could to ignore those very quotes.
The rebellious son.
Well, you know, that's what makes it so ironic.
Wow.
First, my mother had not been dead more than 2 or 3 weeks when they came out with this idea. And my attitude toward it was, yeah, I'm grateful that you did this. I don't really want to get involved. I just really want to say goodbye to my mother. And then I began working on this, and I found it to be a way, I found myself connected to her in a way that I had not envisioned, could not have foreseen.
Wow.
I found her talking to me at night, making me get up and write things down. I mean, literally, it was amazing. It was a way of saying goodbye as well as a way of saying hello.
Even though the idea didn't come from you, it's almost as if the idea just kind of blossomed and grew and became necessary.
Yes, it did, because I thought, what a wonderful way for her last book to be just the synthesis of wisdom, you know, in digestible bite-sized. I just thought it was a wonderful way for her last book to be.
To explain it again to our listeners, it's a collection of quotes, and they're quotes about different subjects. In fact, you have it categorized, and you have it under different categories, such as...
Yes, actually, Random House suggested the categories, and once they suggested it, it sounded like, wow, that's really the way to organize it. I was pleased that they did that, and but it's her sayings, and it's about all sorts of things. And, for example, if I may read you one.
Absolutely.
This is one that she used to say, and truly grateful for being here, for being able to think, for being able to see, for being able to taste, for appreciating love, for knowing that it exists in a world so rife with vulgarity, with brutality and violence. And I'm grateful to know that love exists in me, and I'm able to share it with so many people.
Oh, that's beautiful. Was your mom a person who was able to constantly practice gratitude?
She said, we strove for an attitude of gratitude.
Oh, that's nice.
Because, first off, being fortunate enough to be born in the United States means that most of us have really never known the kind of hunger that is so rife in the world. Mm-hmm. And most of us have really not seen the kind of world where the buildings that we lived in were bombed. And that kind of violence happens. And then we should be grateful for being alive, because as long as we were alive, we had a chance to improve our circumstance if that was what our desire was.
When I read these quotes that you compiled in this beautiful book called Rainbow in the Cloud, but when I read it, I'm kind of thinking she really had a mystic quality to her, and some of these quotes read like a poem by Hafiz or Rumi. And I'm particularly looking at one right now, and it says, "A conversation between friends can sound as melodic as a scripted song." That's really beautiful, and it really does kind of evoke those mystic poets. Would you say your mother was a mystic, or had mystic qualities at least?
No, what I think is she was a who put God in everything.
Mm.
And for those people, God has some mystical qualities about him or her. I mean, really, far too complex to even be, conceived or conceptualized by so finite a mind as the Homo.
Right.
But she felt her faith was a crucial element in everything. And I remember when paralyzed and the doctors thought I was going to die, my mother turned and said in a loud voice, "What do you really know? I've gone to a higher authority so far beyond you, you cannot imagine.
Wow.
My son will walk out of here." And the doctor said, "We know you have to say that, Dr. Angelo, and we think that's the right attitude for you to have." He said, "This is not an attitude, this is a belief." And 2.5, maybe 3 months later, I did, in fact, walk out of the hospital after being in an iron lung.
Wow.
I remember, whenever she was confronted by situations that were demanding or questionable, if it was racism or prejudice that she was struggling against, she would say, "One person standing on the word of God is the And God, I'm stepping out on your word."
That's fantastic. We're talking to Guy Johnson, who is the son of Maya Angelou and compiled her book with all her quotes called Rainbow in the Cloud. And I'd like to read the quote that opens this book. It says, "When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in the clouds." And that's attributed to a Christian spiritual. That title, to me, seems to reflect a lot of what your mother means to us and what she meant to us. When we even look at the title of I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, which is one of her most iconic books, there's this darkness, there's this clouds, but there's always hope within it. And she speaks out about the clouds. She speaks out about injustice. She speaks out about bigotry, but she also has this incredible, incredible level of gratefulness and joy. And what was it like growing up around that kind of love?
Well, I have to tell you, I never doubted that my mom loved me. I never doubted that. I sometimes doubted whether she had lost her mind. because she would say things to me that were truly amazing. Once she was leading a demonstration after a young man had been shot in New York, and I was about 16, so we're talking 1961.
Mm-hmm.
And about 16. And the mounted police of New York to run ride people down and trample them in the street if there were demonstrations that did not have the approval. And my mother would always say, "I'm an American. I have a right to congregate, to protest." You know, she would say that stuff anyway. So the police were riding down upon us. There were probably 200 people in the demonstration who were marching. And, you know, we were carrying signs. And when the police, mounted police appeared, they were like two blocks down. And so people started going to the side. So I pulled my mother's arm. And I said, "Come on, Mom, let's get to the side." She acted like she didn't hear me, and she kept marching. And the police got closer, and I said, "Hey, Ma, come on. You're going to get us killed. Come on." She turned to me, and she said, "One person standing on the word of God is the majority."
Oh, yes. And
that... I looked at her, and I thought, "You were absolutely crazy." But by the time the police reached us, there was probably four left. They rode through us. So as the sergeant rode his horse right and forced my mother to step aside, he pulled out a big hat pin and stuck his horse. His horse reared up. The sergeant fell off. The whole military formation broke up, and the people came back out into the street.
Wow.
And we finished that demonstration. I have to tell you, I looked at her like she was an alien for about 2 weeks.
Wow, that's an amazing story. And you include that quote in the book.
Yeah, I do. I don't tell that whole story, but,
right.
You know, that's the whole story.
I remember when Octavio Paz, the great Mexican poet, when he died, there was such a incredible ceremony in Mexico, and at his funeral there were people lined in the streets, thousands and thousands of people just lined in the streets. And I thought to myself, you know, there is no American poet that has that same kind of cultural influence. A poet having that kind of cultural influence. And then suddenly it occurred to me, Maya Angelou. She is the American poet. And I imagine when it came time to plan her funeral that it was a big, big to-do. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, she had three memorial services because really it was in the spirit of going home.
Right.
It was not in the spirit of mourning.
Right.
It was in the spirit celebrating the fact that we had this time, that we were able to share in some of her wisdom. And so this was not about mourning.
Right.
This was about celebrating. And she had three memorial services, one in Winston, in which the First Lady came and spoke, along with ex-President Clinton. And then there was one in San Francisco at Glide Memorial, which was her church of 40 or 50 years.
Oh.
And then there was in New York at Riverside in Harlem, another church of hers. I would just say that it took a great deal of planning and effort. And fortunately, in the first one, I had the help of Oprah. She was kind enough to bring in a team so that we could make sure that the ceremony was appropriate for my mother.
Uh-huh.
And Oprah was very generous in her assisting us. And then the Glide Church took the main part of it and organized it for us. And when we went Random House and Riverside Church, were the ones that made that memorial. There were so many artists that want and people who wanted to come and contribute that we had to turn people away. Secretary of State Clinton came and she spoke. We were extremely grateful for all the outpouring of love. And many people had things to say about how her books are seeing her, meeting her, changed their lives.
Right.
And all I can say is I was tremendously gratified because that was what she was about. She was about elevating the human spirit of all human beings.
Where is she buried?
She's not.
Oh.
Her ashes are spread in the mountains of North Carolina's Blue Ridge Mountains.
Oh, that's beautiful. Is there any place that a memorial or something that people could go to honor the memory of your mother?
Well, I think in hosting this Thanksgiving, I'm doing that. My mother said, you have to create village in a world where we have forgotten many of the lessons allowed us to climb down from the trees, that we have to create village.
Yeah.
And she did so by hosting a Thanksgiving for almost 30 years.
Wow.
And it grew from probably 20 to 30 to 200.
200 people at a Thanksgiving? How big does a turkey have to be?
Well, fortunately, we are not limited to one turkey. 15 years ago, she used to cook everything herself.
Wow.
But, you know, as she began, as her age and infirmities began to be more demanding, she had to give it up. But so what we do now is rent a place, hire a caterer that we've been hiring for many years, and we have a sit-down dinner. It's the most important holiday in my family. Christmas is not nearly equal to Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Because Thanksgiving is not about giving or getting presents. It's about being grateful and appreciating that you have lived another year, that you are part of something larger than yourself, and that you still have purpose in your life.
Yeah, I like that. Guy Johnson, thank you for joining us. I'm wondering if before we end our interview, if you would be willing to read something, a poem or something by Maya Angelou.
I do have I'm just trying to think. Do I have that poem? Yes, I have one of her poems.
Oh, that would be awesome.
But it's a long poem. Okay. This is the poem that she wrote, that she was commissioned to write for the 50th anniversary of the United Nations. It's called A Brave and Startling Truth. We, the people, on a small and lonely planet, traveling through casual space, past aloof stars, across the way of indifferent suns, to a destination where all signs tell us it is possible and imperative that we learn a brave and startling truth. And when we come to it, to the day of peacemaking, when we release our fingers from fists of hostility and allow the pure air to cool our... When we come to it, when the curtain falls on the minstrel show of hate and face sooted with scorn are scrubbed clean, when battlefields and Colosseum no longer rake our unique and particular sons and daughters, bruised and bloody grass to lie in identical plots in foreign soil, when the rapacious storming of the churches, the screaming racket in the temples have ceased, when the pennants are waving gaily, when the banners of the world tremble stoutly in a good, clean breeze, when we come to it, when we let the rifles fall from our shoulders and children dress their dolls in flags of truce, when landmines of death have been removed, and the aged can walk into the evenings of peace, when religious ritual is not perfumed by the incense of burning flesh, and childhood dreams are not kicked away by nightmares of abuse. When we come to it, then we will confess, not the pyramids, their stones set in mysterious position, nor the gardens of Babylon, hanging as eternal beauty in our collective memory, nor the Grand Canyon, kindled into delicious colors by western sunsets, not the Danube flowing from the blue soul into Europe, not the sacred peak of Mount Fuji stretching to the rising sun, neither Father Amazon nor Mother Mississippi, who without favor nurtures all creatures in the depths and on the shores. These are not the only wonders of the world. When we come to it, we, this people on this minuscule and kith globe, reach daily for the bomb, the blade, dagger, yet who petition in the dark tokens of peace. We, this people on this mote of matter, whose mouths hide cankerous words, challenge our very existence, yet out of these same mouths come songs of such exquisite sweetness that the heart falters in its labor and the body is quieted into awe. We, this people, on this small and drifting planet, whose hands can strike with such abandon that in a twinkling life is sapped from the living, yet those same hands can touch with such healing and irresistible tenderness that the haughty neck is happy to bow, the proud back is to bend. Out of such chaos, of such contradiction, we learn that we are neither devils nor divines. When we come to it, we, this people on this wayward floating body, created on this earth, of this earth, have the power to fashion from this earth a climate where every man, every woman can live freely, without sanctimonious piety, without crippling fear. When we come to it, we must confess that we are the possible. We are the miraculous, true wonder of this world. That is when, and only when, we come to it.
That was Guy Johnson reading the words of his mother, Maya Angelou. Guy, thank you for joining us for Words on a Wire.
Thank you very much.
I'm Daniel Chacon. Thank you for joining me for another edition of Words on a Wire. I'd like to thank Guy Johnson, the son of Maya Angelou, for joining us today. And, well, I'd like to thank Maya Angelou for leaving such a wonderful, beautiful literary heritage and reminding us that there always is a rainbow hiding in whatever cloud we may encounter. Don't forget, the next book you read may save your life.